Everything seemed in order. In fact, it was perfect. The sort of day that would completely blot out 6 miserable, wasted years. Only one thing niggled at her, and it was so tiny that a call from her mother, asking her if she wanted any toast, was able to knock it right out of her mind. It was only when she was dressed that it came to her again. Her sister was teasing her hair, and her father, who had arrived at 10, was chiding them both about being late. Her mother told him not to fret. Karen suddenly thought of her neighbour, Alison. She tried to brush the thought away again, by trying on her veil for the 8th time, but it was no use. Just a small niggle, but she wanted today to be perfect. Not like last time, that bastard ignoring her only 20 minutes after the service. That look he gave Karen's young cousin, the crumpled, terrified feeling Karen had had. She told her sister that her hair was fine, handed her veil to her mother, and told her father she wouldn't be long. Alison lived across the hall, the other side of the lifts. She'd only been there a few months. But if she'd moved in earlier, Karen was sure she would have invited her. They got on so well. She felt as if Alison was one of her oldest friends. Not that they had anything in common, mind. Alison was beautiful and glamorous, if a bit common, as her mother would say. She was all parties and nightclubs. Karen wouldn't have thought Alison would have been interested in her at all. But she was, and the two of them had spent many a night over the last few weeks sipping white wine together in Karen's flat, chatting about nothing or watching TV. Alison was just so easy to be with. It had been great for Karen, because apart from Simon, she didn't have that many friends who came round to see her. The invitations, however, had gone out almost before Karen and Alison had got to know each other, and even then her dad had balked at the numbers. It was a shame, because Alison had seemed very down over the last week, not going out at all, hardly leaving her flat. An invite might have cheered her up. In the weeks running up to the big day, Karen would have liked to invite her in person, but had thought Alison might have been offended because it was too late, and she might have felt tacked on. The day before, Karen had even gone round, but she'd heard voices from inside Alison's flat and hadn't been brave enough to interrupt. But now Karen didn't care. She was going to ask her to come to the reception, to beg her to come. And if Alison couldn't make it, well, never mind. She could give her a kiss, wish her the best of luck, and Karen would have ironed out every last little thing for her second shot at the perfect day. At 10:15 a.m., Karen rustled past the lift into the corridor on the other side, where there were 4 more apartments. Then she stopped. The furthest door, Alison's, was ajar. Karen knocked lightly, but got no reply. She was about to go, but reasoned that Alison must be in. She could see that the lights were on. She was slightly puzzled by this. It was a bright morning, and on that side of the building the sun came straight in. Odd. She gave another knock, and then, very slowly, calling her friend's name, she pushed the door right open. His daughter's screams brought Brian Mills running. In his impatience, he'd watched her enter the flat along the corridor, and so knew where she was. Taking a second to register the noise, he frowned, then hurried towards her. He found Karen, just inside the doorway of the flat he'd seen her enter, screaming and shaking, taking small steps backwards. To begin with, he had no idea why. Taking her ruffled shoulders in his hands, Brian Mills moved his daughter aside and stepped forward. And then he could see. Everything inside him stopped. After a second, he felt his gorge rise but managed to check it. It happened again, though, and this time he wasn't so lucky. He threw up all over his sleeves and the trousers of his morning suit and his shoes and the carpet and down the side and back of his daughter's wedding dress. Karen Mills didn't get married that day. Chapter 2. I suppose it began one morning in late February. I say suppose because it's difficult to know just exactly when something has started, the point before which there's nothing to say. It's like